ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Nightlife travel.
A good story has got the power to transport us, doesn't it? Nowadays, with the ease of travel options open to us, we can actually go to some of the places described in favourite stories. The Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit movies, for example, directed by Peter Jackson, were one of the first big instances of books turning into films leading on to a tourism industry. The movies were filmed, as we know, in New Zealand and have created quite a big Tolkien-inspired travel movement there. And it's happening again with the latest Wuthering Heights movie, starring two Australian actors, Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi. The Emily Bronte novel, which many of you would have read, first published in 1847, is set in the wild and isolated Yorkshire moors of northern England, which was the location for this latest film version. And it's also seeing a resurgence of tourism inspired by the movie. Travel writer Sarah Rodriguez has just returned from Yorkshire, where she explored the phenomenon of literary-inspired travel. Sarah, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks. Hi.
Are you lovesick? Did you meet your Heathcliff?
I didn't meet my Heathcliff, no. I did meet a very characterful young welder called Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Who was great company over a pint of Bronte beer. But no Heathcliff, sadly.
Yeah. It's a place, the Yorkshire Moors, aren't there? I mean, I went to Dartmoor once, other end of the country, I know, but and found that a very moody place too. Tell me what are the Yorkshire Moors like?
I mean, they're wild and desolate.
Which sounds odd for a country like England. You think there's nowhere wild and desolate than England, do you?
No, exactly. But they really are. They're just vast. The weather is sort of, well, certainly when I was there, I'm sure they do have some sunny days in Yorkshire. But when I was there, it was sort of ominous clouds. And the moors are just, there are hardly any trees. It's just wave after wave of brown bracken just going on endlessly in the distance. And it's extraordinary to see how large they are compared to how small Emily Bronte's life would have been, through a modern lens at least. Mm. And you can really see how that landscape would have inspired the emotional landscape of a book like Wuthering Heights.
Mm. Tell me some towns that are near there. Where are we talking about?
So the main one is the village of Haworth, which is where the Bronte sisters were raised by their father. Their mother died when she was very young. She was only 38. So their father raised them in a parsonage, which is now a museum where you can essentially step into a time capsule. There are manuscripts that the sisters wrote. There's the sofa that Emily died on. That's the main place where any sort of Bronte pilgrimage begins. And it's largely unchanged since the Brontes lived there. There's the post office where the sisters sent their manuscripts off to London. There's the pub where their drug addict brother drank himself into a stupor most nights. Mm-hmm. And then nearby there's the town of Kifley. It looks like it's pronounced Keeley, but it's pronounced Kifley. And there's a stately home there called East Riddlesden Hall, where adaptations prior to this 2026 one have been filmed. It's a National Trust property, very beautiful. Mm. There's Wuthering everywhere, really.
I love it, yes. The film's set across a number of sites in the district. Did you go to them all?
So I went up to the Yorkshire Dales. So the book was obviously set in the moors. The Dales are more agricultural in character, so they're more well-groomed, less bleak, but still sort of desolate and remote. I stayed at a
The Dales is the kind of he's the vet. That's the vet show up there, isn't it? That's the Dales.
Yes, country. Absolutely. Yes. All creatures great and small.
That's right. That's it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the Dales, but he wouldn't venture out on the moors where dark and brooding things happen, don't they?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the book is set on the moors. The film was filmed in the Dales. Hmm. They're cheek by jowl. They're very close together. I stayed in the hotel where the cast stayed while they were filming. It's called Simonston Hall, which is beautiful. There are a number of sites. There's like an abandoned mill where some of the scenes were filmed. There are the fields where there's that iconic shot of Margot Robbie walking with her wedding gown billowing. They're all within about 20 minutes of where the cast stayed.
Mm. Yeah, I guess, I mean, do locals get it? Sometimes they can get a bit ticked off if something triggers an onslaught of tourists and they're otherwise quite part of the world. I suppose if you're running a pub or a service thing of any kind, you're probably quite happy, aren't you, about the arrival of people?
I wondered about that because, you know, as I say, Howarth is a very small village. Mm. But when I questioned people in the pub about it, they had this very typically laid back, unfazed Yorkshire sort of attitude. And they just said, oh, you know, we're used to visitors, you know, we get them all the time. You know, in the Dales, yeah, they said, we've already been on the tourist trail because of all creatures, great and small. I wonder how that demographic might change with Wuthering Heights starring two such bankable Hollywood stars and appealing to a younger demographic. I wonder whether the sort of selfie culture might begin to make people a little bit less relaxed about people coming along. One person who I spoke to from the tourism board said that they were going to have to wait and see if there were any iconic shots in the film that people might want to replicate, because if anything had been filmed in an area that doesn't have the necessary infrastructure, there could be sort of health and safety issues around it. So I'm thinking if perhaps there is something in the film in a really remote location and a young influencer goes and wants to do the exact same shot, that could cause problems. But for the moment, they seem to take it all in their stride.
Sarah Rodriguez is with us, a travel writer. We're talking about the Yorkshire Moors, the site of Wuthering Heights, the new movie. It's not just books that are inspiring holidays, is it? The institutions that house them, libraries, are also starting to be tourist attractions. Tell me about some of the world's most beautiful libraries.
Oh, there are some gorgeous ones right there in Australia as well. But certainly in terms of overseas, one of the big ones I'd say that always draws people is Trinity College Library in Dublin. It's old, it's grand. There are over 200,000 books in the main chamber. And you can, you know, you can do tours. You can't pick the books up off the shelf. They're behind ropes. But there are long benches where you can just sort of sit and absorb the atmosphere. That's a big one. There's also in Austria, in an abbey called Admont Abbey. It's said to have been the inspiration for Belle's room of books in the Disney film Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, it's gilded flourishes and elegant curves and flashes of rose pink. It's in a Benedictine monastery. It was commissioned in the late 1800s. You can buy a ticket for about 20 euros, I think, and you can view the museum and the library. It's got secret doors as well, secret doors leading to secret staircases, which is pretty special. And then there's the Morgan Library and Museum in New York City.
That is fabulous. That's fabulous, that place, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, really beautiful. And it was extended about 20 years ago under the Italian architect Renzo Piano, who designed the Shard in London. And then in right there in Adelaide, you've got the State Library of South Australia, which has the Mortlock Wing, which was opened in the late 1800s, I want to say. Mm-hmm. It attracts like around 500,000 visitors a year. It's got the wrought iron balconies, and entry is free.
Yes, I remember on a trip to London not so many years ago, going to the library of the Athenaeum Club. I mean, it's a private club, but golly gosh, it was
you quite, up on me. I've not been there.
It was quite a sight. It's if you'd ever wondered what an imposing private library might look like, just floor to ceiling over about three stories of. And a lot of it just reached by ladders. You had to be
gorgeous.
Quite good on the rolling ladder to reach these books here. No, they are wonderful, wonderful places. And unfortunately, I think the reading room of the British Library is not what it was, is it? But it's still a thing to see, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Gorgeous. Sarah, I'm glad you returned safely and romantically unmarked and unscathed from the Yorkshire moors. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.